Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post and proudly sponsored by Unibet. I said last week on the show that we'd have a brand new look to the show, and here it is. Really excited to have Unibet on board, and we'll be chatting to Ed Nicholson, as you can see in the bottom of your screen, in just a moment. A massive weekend to come. We've got the rearranged Fighting Fifth at Sandown this week. Would it be Constitution Hill? Would it be Shishkin? It could be both, looking at the declarations on Thursday morning. We've also got the Henry VIII Novices Chase and the Tingle Creek with some competitive handicaps across Aintree and Sandown as well, with the London National Handicap Chase and also the Beecher Handicap Chase coming from Aintree. As always, do like, subscribe, get your comments in down below. Let us know you are enjoying the show. Let's find out who's on today's panel then, and we'll start off with our brand new fourth member, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Ed, pleasure to have you on board. What can we expect from Unibet over the sponsorship of the Postcast?
Well, great to be here, Sam. Plenty of offers, promotions, boosted prices. We also have a money back second and third as cash every single weekend. And plenty of videos as well. We're going to be playing some today, I think, from our ambassador, Nicky Henderson, and this time Nico de Boinville, talking about their big weekend runners every Thursday. So, yeah, plenty to look forward to. Hopefully jam-packed full of offers, promotions, videos, and hopefully some winning tips.
Yeah, looking forward to find out what Nico has to say about Constitution Hill and John Bond, his two big rides this weekend. Who else joins me on the panel? We've got David Jennings, our Deputy Irish Editor. Last week on the show, a 28-1 winner of Get a Tonic. Take a bow, Mr. David Jennings.
Yeah, I'll take a half a bow. I'm not going the whole way down because, to be honest, he was 6-1 when I tipped him. And I thought when he went out to 12s, I was like, whoa, 12s is a bit of value. Then it went 14s, 16s, 20s. And yeah, too many people heard that I fancied it. So that's why he went off 28-1. But absolutely bolted up. So we'll take them when they arrive, Sam.
Absolutely, hoping for more prices like that this week. And Keith Melrose, loads of big staying handicap chases this week with the Beecher and London National Handicap Chase. Keith, right in your bag, that.
Absolutely is. It's probably my biggest punting weekend of this winter, this, Sam, to be honest with you. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, really excited. We've got plenty of racing to get through, so let's crack on. And we start off at Sandown, where we started with the rearranged Fighting Fifth Hurdle. This is over 2 miles, a Grade 1 event where Constitution Hill is currently the 5-1 on favourite with Unibet currently. Love Envoir is 13-2. You Wear It Well is 11-1. 12-1 about Shishkin. Goshen, 33-1. And Not So Sleepy is 40-1. We get to see the champion back in action here. But before we start previewing the race, let's find out what Nico had to say about his big ride this weekend.
So we're joined by Unibet ambassador Nico de Boinville in Seven Barrows Tack Room to talk about this weekend's rides. Nico, Constitution Hill, obviously disappointing you didn't run in the original Fighting Fifth, but the BHA rescheduled the race and it's on Saturday. You must be really looking forward to getting aboard the horse.
Yeah, they've done a fantastic job to get it back on, you know, because it was a bit depressing that Newcastle was off, but these things happen. Looking forward to getting him out. I rode him this morning, he seems really well. And him and Shishkin might possibly run. I think we're just depending on what happens with the ground and what happens with the weather, but they're both in good health.
And Constitution Hill loves Sandown, which is a bonus.
Yeah, he does. He won both his novice hurdles around there. He won the Tolworth round there, and he won on heavy ground. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Mind you, the opposition loved Sandown as well. Love Envoy and You Wear It Well.
Yeah, both of them were going to take you on at Newcastle and probably they do have a better chance of Sandown, but Constitution Hill has been giving you a good feel at home.
Definitely. He schooled the week before last and he seems in good order.
Great to hear from Nico de Boinville there. Plenty said about how Constitution Hill will be handling the ground and, you know, how good this horse could potentially be. Really excited to see him at Sandown. I'm going to be heading there on Saturday for a monster card. Ed, you got to catch up with him on Tuesday, I believe it was. It was great, probably great for you to head to Nicky's yard. And what else can we expect from Unibet over the next sort of month or so with some of the filming that you did there?
Well, we're doing a series of interviews with Nico. He's a great ambassador. He talks very well. And you can see when you ask a question, he actually is thinking about the answer. Plenty of jockeys just give the standard answers you see after it, like a football match being interviewed by the players who just scored the winning goal. But Nico actually does think about things very, very much. And we're going to be doing a series of interviews with him, going through his racing silks, the colours that mean most to Nico. So we'll talk about, you know, the JP McManus colours, the, you know, all the colours that have won him big races, and ask him just to to tell us what he thought when he was riding those horses, and maybe get to know the real Nico. So we've done the filming. It lasted 3 hours. It was great fun. I'm really looking forward to putting it all together, and we'll play some of the clips in this show in the weeks to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And Constitution Hill, we don't need to spend too much time on this, Ed, but he's your winner, is he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's rated 175, £12 clear of anything else. We've got a special offer, which is a 4-5 on him to win this and then win the Unibet Champion Hurdle. Obviously, the Champion Hurdle is a race we've sponsored for many years, and the Fighting Fifth is a race that we've sponsored in the past as well. And as we all know, Nicky Henderson loves this race for his Champion Hurdle horses. I think he's had 13 runners and 7 winners in the last 20 years, and only one horse finished out the first three. So, yeah, it's a Nicky Henderson appreciation race, isn't it? And he's also got the top two in the ratings, I suppose, with Shiskin, which is an interesting contender I'm sure we'll talk about. But, yeah, I think Nicky wins this with Constitution Hill, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah, completely agree. It's very easy to say, though. David Jennings, we actually previewed this last week. Obviously, it didn't go ahead, but we've got a slightly different field to look at now with Shishkin entering the mix. It's probably going to be the same conclusion, but what do we make of Shishkin being potentially in this race?
Yeah, we'll come to Shishkin in a second. Did you say it's 4-5 for Constitution Hill to win the Fighting Fifth and then win the champion, the Unibet Champion Hurdle? Is that right?
Yeah, 4-5 to do that. Yeah, to win the Fighting Fifth and the Champion Hurdle.
That's an incredible price, yeah. Look, it wouldn't. It's obviously, we're into the, well, just about into the second week of December, and you have to wait till the middle of March to get paid, but you're basically getting 4-5 on Constitution Hill to win the Champion Hurdle, which to me seems incredible. I'd be surprised if that lasted, Ed, but that's a terrific offer from Unibet. I'm sure listeners to the podcast will be falling over to themselves trying to get on that, because that is basically, you're backing him to be still breathing in March, basically. So what price is he to be breathing in March? That's probably it, because, look, he's the best hurdler that I've seen, and I'm sure he's going to win this race quite comfortably. The one horse who's, obviously we know he's an enigma, is Shishkin. Obviously he's not going to win, but I am surprised that, like, Love Envo, who's rated 153, is whatever, you know, a solid second favourite, and Shishkin is as big as 16-1 and 12-1 generally. Like, I don't think Shishkin will win, but I've thought all week that he was probably too big of a price, and maybe the fact that he mightn't start is factored into the price. Obviously, the 2 miles is factored into the price, and obviously the fact that the race is over hurdles. So he has an awful amount of negatives to try and get over. But on pure ability, surely he's got a lot more pure ability than Love Envoy, You Wear It Well. Well, Goshen, sure, Goshen is Goshen. You never know what Goshen's going to do. And Not So Sleepy. So, look, I don't know. Maybe I'm mad, but I just thought, if you're getting 16-1 about Shishkin, or maybe getting a decent price without Constitution Hill, who knows, maybe they both won't run. I don't know. I don't know what the way Nicky is thinking. But I'd imagine at this stage, he's gone this far with both of them, I'd imagine they will both run. Maybe Shishkin won't start, but maybe he will. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised if he finished second, to be honest with you.
Okay, a 1-2 for Nicky Henderson, potentially in the Fighting Fifth for DJ. Keith Melrose, probably in the same opinion that Constitution Hill is going to be winning this. Who would be finishing second for you?
I was tempted along the same lines as DJ, the idea of Shishkin finishing second. My only thing against that was that, you know, basically if James Bowen gets him to three out still interested, that's the race won, as far as they're concerned, because it's all about the King George for him and doing that. So it's whether the sort of, if he's there and gets revved up properly, he's the second best horse in the race, no question, and I can definitely see that case. I would just be a little bit reluctant because I think the objectives are slightly different from Shishkin, given those shenanigans at Ascot the other week.
Sam, one thing I would say is that it's interesting. The last 5 times Constitution Hill has run, Nicky Henderson horse has come second on 3 of those occasions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 16-1 Shishkin second. If they both do run, maybe that's the forecast.
There we go. See what the forecast could be in the opening race we've previewed there on the postcast. We move on now to the 150 there at Sandown, which is another Grade 1 event. It's the Henry VIII Novices Chase, just shy of 2 miles here, where JPR1's the current 7-4 favourite with Unibet, Colonel Harry 100-30, ICO 7-2, Unexpected Parties 4-1, Petit Tonnerre is 10-1, and Gary Moore Train Le Patron is the outside of the lot at 18-1. Another Grade 1 event here. Ed, who's taking this one?
I found this to be an interesting race. Plenty of different options, I thought. I think nearly every horse here has got a chance on one bit of form or another. Paul Nichols has won this race 7 times. Dynamite Dollar's been the last one. His horse ICO came 3rd of 3, didn't he, in that chase at Newton Abbot. And he was telling everyone that he'll come on for the run, but he's going to have to come on quite a lot to reverse form with JPR1. The one I like was Colonel Harry. I think he's got good Sandown form. He was fourth in the Unibet Tolworth. He's rated 137, which is a little bit lower than maybe the other horses in pure ability. But I kind of was taken by what Jamie Snowden has said about him. He said he's a better horse than That's All Right Gino at the same stage of their careers. And he thinks that he could be even better. Now, he said that before That's All Right Gino's gone on and won one of the biggest handicaps of the season. Mm. But I was interested by that comment because he's a very good trainer, is Jamie Snowden. And Colonel Harry, I think, would be quite a good option in this race.
Okay, Colonel Harry, 130 currently with Unibet. Keith, what did you make of JPR1 in this race? Obviously, the fall at the final flight at Cheltenham last time wasn't ideal, but was going to go and win that race quite comfortably, it seemed. Is he the most likely winner here?
Possibly. I mean, yes, he was going to win that race at Cheltenham, but he was sort of fancied that day because it wasn't that much of a Grade 2, and now he's stepping into a Grade 1. I thought the bet in this race was Issio, to be honest. You've got to have a bit of faith in that Newton Abbott run last time. He'd won on his seasonal reappearance 19 days earlier, you got to remember, and he did just look like a horse that was feeling something, I thought. I don't know if anything came to light. I'd be interested to read what the trainer thinks of what happened there. But the time before, he'd looked a pro turning up over fences on his chasing debut. He won the Imperial Cup here in March over hurdles, and just looks like the sort of Paul Nicholls horse that's going to go on and be that sort of Grade 1 level novice chaser. You just have to get rid of, you have to turf that one out of your mind. You know, JPR1 beaten by 13 lengths, but £15 better terms for Issio now. So even taking it very literally, he's not got much to find. And I think he can definitely bounce back from that. He looks like the sort of horse that's going to go on and be a much better chaser than he was a hurdler. I just thought he was a tremendous bet about 4-1.
Okay, Issio for Keith Melrose. David Jennings, I remember you were there at Cheltenham the day that I was there when JPR came down. I didn't actually see the race, but I just heard the crowd's noise as this horse fell at the last. A massive shark, I think everyone and their dog was on it that day. What do you make of this one? Is he going to go and win this?
I don't think so, no. I think the first thing to say is, like, it's a poor crop of British novices. Like, if you look at JPR, won his favourite for the first Grade 1 novice chase in the season in England, and he's 33-1 to win the Arkle at Cheltenham. So I think it's safe to say the Arkle will be going to Ireland in some shape or form. With JPR1, I'm a bit like Keith. I thought he was exposing the limitations of a poor race at Cheltenham. But the one thing I kind of came away from that day and that race was that Petit Tonnerre is going to make a nice chaser, and I can really see why they're sending him over fences so early in his career. He's only a 5-year-old. I don't think John Joe Neal, I don't think winning that day was the be-all and end-all. Not to say that he wasn't trying or anything like that. I just think it was a case of giving him a nice experience, getting him into a rhythm. And I thought he did both of those things. I thought he jumped safely, didn't jump exuberantly. I thought he looked the natural. He never looked like falling at any stage against JPR1. Now, what would he have been beaten if JPR1 didn't fall? Possibly 8 lengths, I'd imagine. Maybe I'd say JPR1 would have won by 5 or 6 lengths from Pond Public, and then Petit Tonnerre was beaten 2 lengths. But I think when JPR1 came down, it was kind of like John Joe Neal was like, oh God, I might actually win this. And then he got after Petit Tonnerre. But I do think it was an education that day at Cheltenham, and something that does kind of stand novices in good stead. I think you'll see a completely different performance with Petit Tonnerre here. I think he'll be fine on the ground, and I think he'll make a massive jump forward from the run at Cheltenham. Whether it's good enough to win it, I don't know. I think 12-1 is a big price. As regards the most likely winner of the race, I'm with Keith. I think it's Issio or Issio. I think you can always forgive one horse one really bad run, and it was too bad to be true. He was beaten too early, and just go back to Sandown last March and that bottomless ground. He absolutely hammered Knickerbocker Glory, given Knickerbocker Glory £3. We know he likes the track. He'll handle conditions. I think you'll see a different ICO on Saturday. So ICO will be my number one, but I'd be keeping a keen eye on Petit Tonnerre as well.
Okay, all three gentlemen taking on JPR1 in the Grade 1 Henry VIII Novices Chase there. Interesting to see how that one turns out. We go on to a handicap hurdle now. This is when it gets really competitive. A Class 2 event here, again over 2 miles, the 225 there at Sandown. It's Impostoire, who tops the market at 2-1. Spirit Donu and Buxy de Esperes is 6-1 joint second favourites. Arcube is 13-2. Punta del Est is 7-1. Gilai Jaune is 9-1. Red Rookie 12s and 16-1 bar these. Ed Nicholson, we're going to be expecting an extra place here. Are we getting one?
We're not doing an extra place in this race, actually. No. But in the last race, you didn't come to me because I was going to let you know we are offering a super boost on the 150, the race there, the Henry VIII Novice Chase Super Boost, which is, for those that don't know, we boost every horse in the race by one price up the ladder. So whatever our prices are for every horse, you'll get one price above. So that's one of two Super Boosts that we're running today, on Saturday. Impose Trois looks the winner here, though. I mean, 5-2, though. I was trying to look to see if I could oppose the Nicky Henderson JP McManus horse, but because it is very short, I'm sure the value seekers here will think 5-2 is a ridiculously short price for a horse in a Sandown handicap like this. But he's just improving. He won so well last time. Has gone up, I think it's £10 from that easy Cheltenham victory up to 1-3-1. And as Nicky said to us on our blog, he has to play with the big boys now, but he is improving. And I think he could just about take this, but he is a horse they think plenty of, and he has been started with a kind handicap mark, let's say. But he's going to have to mix it with the big boys today.
Yeah, they are currently 2-1. Impose Trois, and Nicky Henson could be in for a big day, obviously, with Constitution Hill and John Bond also running on the card. David Jennings, we expect a big handicap hurdle winner from you once again. Who do you like in this?
This might not be the weekend. Punta del Est. I was just praying that Impose Trois wouldn't be declared, and Impose Trois has been declared. But my thinking with Impose Trois is maybe the ground might just be too soft for him. Now who knows? Like he's a bit of form. He's beaten in a maiden hurdle by Egbert at Ludlow on pretty soft ground, and he won in France on soft ground. So maybe he'll be fine. But he's got up £10, and he's running a better race now. But he could just be, as Ed said, a few steps ahead of the handicapper. But by God, he will need to be, because at long last, after waiting a long, long time, Punta del Est is finally going to get his beloved soft, hopefully bottomless ground. And if it is riding as testing as we expect it to be, we'll come to Keith in a minute and he can give us an indication of just how soft it's likely to be. He'll know more about that than me, but I'd imagine it's going to be seriously testing. I just thought the run at Wetherby behind Richmond Lake was a real pipe opener for the season. To me, everything about this horse is ground. He hasn't really got a chance to show how good he is on really bottomless ground. I know it was officially soft for the Boodles at Cheltenham, but I don't think it was bottomless that day either. Like, it was Cheltenham Festival soft ground in the Boodles. I didn't think he ran as bad as his finishing position suggests either. He finished 14th that day against Jazzy Matty, but he was kind of wide the whole way, got a bit of a nick after two outs. It was just a bit of a tale of woe, to be honest with you. And even next time at Ascot, I actually thought he ran far better again on ground that was way too quick for me. He was too keen that day under Harry Skelton. Tristan Durrell, who rides him here, who claims £5, rode him at Wetherby as well. And the fact that he's rated 121, like, I'm sure they think this is a far better horse than 121 rated horse. Tristan takes off £5, and he's good value for that, which means effectively he's running off 116. These are his terms and conditions. This is everything that he wants. If it is bottomless, he'll be 7-2, not 7-1. So I'd advise listeners to take the 7-1 now. I think he'll win some.
Okay, Punta del Est. Those who watched last week's show will know that DJ gave this horse a big mention. Said if
he ran really well. He did nothing wrong. last week.
If the soft ground were to come, definitely worth being on side with Punta del Est, and he is on side here. How soft is it? Is it likely to be, Keith?
On that hurdles track at Sandown, if they're inspecting for potentially waterlogging, and that hurdles course is just, it couldn't be deeper. It's one of the deepest tracks in the country. So it could get really, really testing over hurdles. Fences, it tends never to be quite as bad at Sandown. Certainly not when it's not as biblical and deep as the hurdles track tends to get. But it's going to be deep ground. You know, we've heard quotes from the clerk of the course that are, you know, they're not even 101 to go ahead, the sounds of that. So it's going to be, you know, it probably will go ahead, but it's going to be very, very testing ground out there.
Okay, and Sam,
I don't want to disappoint you. I've just realised I've disappointed you with that extra place information. So we will go an extra place with Unibet in this race.
I did think we'd get an extra place there, Ed. So thanks very much. So we've got four places on this race. Who's going to be taking that fourth place, Keith?
I might need it. I might, because I've gone for a bit of a swing, thinking that this was maybe, you know, a very competitive race, but it'd be not much more competitive than the races Gilles John's been running in. You know, he's been running in some of these good races. He turned up in the old free handicap at Chepstow, got beaten that, but then turned up at Cheltenham next time, finished second to Blue King Doro, who won the Ascot Hurdle on his next run, and then finished third in another really good race at Ascot last week. You know, Jin Coco was in there, who's very progressive horse, still up and coming, and Fave Wire, who's obviously won a county hurdle. So he's already, even though he's only four, he's still already mixing it with the big boys and getting there all the time. I thought he was quite a good each way bet, and the sort of horse you'd definitely look to back in a race where you're getting extra places.
Okay, Gilles Ajoin, you're currently 9-1 with Unibet. Let's move swiftly on then to another Grade 1 event. We move on to the Tingle Creek Chase here. Again, at just shy of 2 miles, it's the 3 o'clock there at Sandown, where John Bond tops the market. He's 4-1 on currently with Unibet. Edward Stone is 6-1. Boot Hill is 11-1. Haddix de Zobo is 14-1. And Nube Negra, the outside of the lot, at 20-1. And Ed Nicholson also caught up with Nico de Boinville with regards to his ride on John Bond after Aidan O'Coleman being out injured. So let's find out what Nico had to say now.
So we're here in the racing tack room of Seven Barrows. It's an amazing place, plenty of bridles and colours and silks. And we've even got Nico de Boinville here today. Nico, you ride John Bond at the weekend in the Tingle Creek, one of the 2 mile chases of the season. How is John Bond and what chance do you think you got?
Well, Paddy, who rides him every day, has said he's come out of that race very well, the Schlower Chase, and it's all systems go for Saturday.
And the feel he gave you at Cheltenham in the Schlower Chase, I mean, people telling me about the time of the race, the way he jumped, that's the first time they thought he's a real deal over 2 miles. It must have given you so much to look forward to for the rest of the season, winning that so well.
Well, for JP and all his team, it was fantastic that he came out and did that, and it certainly sets him up nicely for the season ahead.
One question about John Bonham ground. What do you think his best ground is? Will he have any problems with the ground of the weekend?
He won his point-to-point on soft ground. It was fairly atrocious at Cheltenham in the Schlower. So I don't think it'll be too bad.
Great to hear from Nico there with regards to John Bond. Interesting, we just mentioned about the soft ground there that, you know, he doesn't think John Bond's going to struggle on any sort of soft conditions here. Won his point-to-point on soft conditions. Ed, we actually have another to win a race this weekend and win at Cheltenham boost here, have we?
Yeah, I'm hoping DJ likes this one as much as the first one. 4-1 for John Bond to win here and then win the champion chase. 4-1. What do you think, DJ?
No, as good as the first one, no. I can see why people would like it because it's a similar type of situation if you're just backing him really to win the champion chase, which he could do and you're getting 4-1, but is he really going to be cut that much after winning this? Probably not.
Yeah, we'll still wait to see El Fabiola. We'll get DJ's thoughts on that towards the end of the show as well over in Ireland this weekend. Ed, who's the fancy in here? Just John Bond, simple as that?
Yeah, you just got to go John. But I think that Schlower Chase really marks him down as a serious 2 mile horse. I know that's maybe a silly thing to say, but I know a lot of people in the stable, and myself included, thought he'd be even better over further. But he looked a real specialist 2 mile, very slick, and I know Nico was really impressed by him. So, yeah, I mean, Edward Stone on his best days would be a contender that could take him places, but he's not won, has he, for ages? And he's not been the horse, I don't think, as he was towards the beginning of last year. So, yeah, John Bond. But very short price, but John Bond.
Yeah, John Bond. I mean, I was hoping that we would get Captain Guinness in here, Keith. Obviously, that looked like the matchup that might be. Isn't going to happen now with Captain Guinness coming out. What do we make of this race as a whole?
Well, you'd have had a depth with Captain Guinness, wouldn't he? But he's probably not any better than Edward Stone, say, whose run when he won this race last year is starting to look like a bit of a standout on his profile. And let's be honest, probably isn't the performance we thought it was at the time, to be honest. And on those, with that being the case, the 1-3 about John Bond is entirely justified. If there is an angle maybe for a forecast or whatever, I still think there's maybe a bit to come from Haddix de Zobo. He's not beating any of these good horses if he stands up and if they turn up and run the race, but this horse might have a 160 in him and that might get him second. But I'll just be interested to see how he goes here, and he was going to win that race at Dancing on My Own at Cheltenham, I thought, when he fell at the last. I thought he was still on a lot to give. And as I say, this horse, he might just have a 160 in him and that might get him second, but it's about the closest thing I've got to a betting interest in this race.
Absolutely. I actually agree with you with the five runners currently in the two places. I think Haddix de Zobo is not the worst each way bet in the world here. David Jennings, you're going to be with John Bond, obviously. Is there a horse that you'd have to finish second?
Edward Stone. John Bond will win, and I think Edward Stone will finish second. Move on.
Simple as that. We'll fly through that then, and we'll move on to the final race on the card, which is the London National Handicap Chase at 3:35 there this just over 3.5 miles, where Beauport currently tops the market along with Fontaine-Coulonge at 11-4. Certainly Red is 7-1. Broken Halo is also 7s. Truckers Lodge 9. Cyclop is 9s. Fortescue is 11s. And 16-1 bar these. Ed Nicholson, who do you fancy in this?
I really fancy Beauport. He is the favourite, so it's not saying what people don't think out there, but he's got some very good form on soft ground. He's very good form at Sandown, a win and 2 seconds. He's rated high over hurdles, but was always going to make a chaser. He's come down a couple of pounds since running well last time and staying on from an unpromising position down the back straight. And his trainer's in great form. Nigel Twiston Davis has had 6 winners and 3 further-placed horses from his last 18 rides in 14 last 18 runners in 14 days. I think he's the one to beat. The market says he's the one to beat. He's been backed. I think this is a really good bet.
Yeah, Beauport well supported into 11-4 here. Keith Merrow, as I said at the start of the show, you love a big staying handicap chase. This is one where viewers and listeners will want to find out who you fancy. Who is it?
This has Keith Merrow's written all over.
It
I'm
really
expecting
is.
A big
oh,
one.
You know what?
You don't find a winner here, I tell you.
It's the horse I'm putting up. It's the horse I'm putting up. I don't like. I'm getting this big up before I put up this lazy swine Fortescue, because he's a very.
Lord.
I know. Well, the thing is, this is Sandown. Oh, you get these slow horses that are off the bridle miles out, and they never win anything, because most of the time in these big chases on soft ground, you want to be prominent because it's so hard to make up ground. Sandown's one of the few tracks where you can do it. Actually, remember Doing Fine. He used to run well in this race every year. It's one of the very few gaffes you get where these horses like Fortescue get a lot of joy. And this horse is extremely well handicapped. This time last year, he was fourth in the Beecher off a £6 higher mark than he's running off here. I see the money's already starting to come. I looked this morning and he was sort of 16. You're 11-1 now. But if this horse is, because of the way he runs, he's a sort of horse that places more than he wins. But if horses like him ever tend to win, tends to be at Sandown, and I thought he was certainly. And if you're, are we getting it? Are we getting an each way boost in this race?
Not this time, I'm afraid. This time, I'd definitely say no.
Okay. No, well, anyway, he's very much the sort of horse he's going to be finishing well. If they go hard enough and the ground's deep enough, you might find he's catching them all. So I just thought double figure price was too big.
Okay, Fortescue 11-1 currently with Unibet. David Jennings, who's going to be staying on best in the final race at Sandown?
Just on Keith's point there, I do remember Doing Fine very well, because I really fancy Cross Park that day. They didn't nap them on this very show, and he was collared close home. Couple of things. Fortescue, I can see where Keith is coming from. He's going to be the one that's going to be really, really staying on. So if you do see how testing it is during the day, and hopefully it is for Punta de Leste earlier on in the day, but if it is really testing, he's going to go off a single figure price and probably, 11-2, 13-2 type of thing. No favourite has won this in the last decade, would you believe, which is hard to believe. We have a smaller field probably than usual here. Beauport, I thought, jumped deplorably the last day at Ascot. My God. Like, he got in trouble early, and he made an early mistake. I think it was he kind of pitched on Landon at the second, and then it just went from bad to worse. And given how poorly he jumped, I thought he did remarkably well to finish, 10 lengths of the winner that day. But look, I fancy Fontaine-Coulonge. He's had a wind operation. He's only a pound higher than when he beat the big breakaway in that final race on Betfair Chase Day at Haydock. I thought it was a really good run at Kempton over Christmas as well, off 1.37, where I thought it was, real solid run. Then his last two runs of last season were a little bit disappointing, but I do think this track, this ground, after wind operation, Ned Fox takes off £5. I think he's going to be hard to beat off 1.33. It'll be Fontaine-Coulonge for me.
Fontaine-Coulonge. Go on, Ed.
Sam, I was just going to point out a couple of things to both Keith's and David's selections. They both entered for the Welsh National, and so is Truckers Lodge. I always think, I work quite closely on the Chepstow track, that these trainers like to get a run in before that big race. Do you think they were going to come on for that race?
Possibly so. It's the thing with they never come from behind in the Welsh National the way Fortescue is the last horse I'd want for a Welsh National the way he runs. But also he and a couple of us are in the Welsh National trial at Chepstow.
Yeah.
Paul Carberry would disagree with you there now, but horses never from behind.
Only Paul Carberry could have done it. Only the great man could have done it. He's the only man ever to do it. God himself would not have got up on one big dude, but Carbs did.
Yeah, that was some ride. My God. I would be a little bit worried, Ed. And the fact that Fontaine-Coulonge was in Haydock last Saturday as well and was a late non-runner, So it would be, actually, was it Saturday before? It was a Saturday before, so 2 weeks ago, Fontainebleau was supposed to run in Haydock. So that is a little bit of a worry, but I don't know. I think Venetia is one that, when they're there, if they're fit enough and good enough, I think they'll be back there. So I would be with Fontaine Cologne, and I'm going to try and find another hold up horse who won the Welsh National Liberty.
Modern Venetia is often first time can be the time to get them a lot with Venetia, yeah. The last couple of seasons too.
Synchronised, there's another one that was held up. Synchronised.
Oh, he held himself up.
Well, there are the gents' selections for the London National Handicap Chase. Hopefully we land a big winner there. We're going to be discussing Aintree shortly after this, but here's some of the main reasons you should be signing up to Unibet.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. David Jennings, Keith Melrose, Ed Nicholson and myself, Sam Hart, steering you through the weekend action. We move on to Aintree now. We've got 4 races to cover there, and we kick things off with the 12:55, which is the Horton's Mares Chase, the listed contest over 2.5 miles, where Zambella is currently topping the market at 5-4. Pink Legend not far off it though at 11-8. Burroughs Diamond 10-1, Sacre Coeur is 11-1, and Le Romani is 12-1. Ed Nicholson, this was a race that got switched to ITV. They took out the 130, put in the 12:55. Who do you like in this?
Well, on ratings, it only centres around the first two, doesn't it? They're way clear, Zambella and Pink Legend. And I like Zambella a lot. I think she's a really game mare. She's come fourth in that mare's race at Cheltenham the last 2 years, isn't she? Fourth for the last 2 years. But an interesting stat is that for the last 3 seasons, she's got beaten on a debut and then won the next time. And I do like Pink Legend. We spoke about Venetia Williams just a moment ago. And Keith was talking about quite often the time to get them is first time out. Pink Legend has actually got a good record after a long layoff. She's won 3 times after a layoff. 212 days, 316 days, 218 days. Bang, in she's gone. So she does like a layoff, but then winning. She's also done it with 57 days off as well. I just thought Pink Legend of the two would be my selection, given those stats. I know stats don't always prove successful, but as horses get older, they tend to even need their first run even more. So I think Pink Legend will, having shown a liking for having a layoff, will win this. I think she's going to be second favourite, but there's not going to be much between the two in the betting.
Okay, Pink Legend, yeah, 11-8. Is it a 2-horse race for you, Keith Melrose?
I try my damnedest to think about Burroughs Diamond, but I just don't think this horse was that interesting. It needs to be a bit more of a test than this race will provide for Burroughs Diamond to become interesting. Because Zambella and Pink Legend are both the sort of mares that turn up in all these mares races. They're all small fields, and you know, you've got to have a horse that suits those sort of races, and these two mares do. I would agree with the market. I'd have Zambella in shorter than Pink Legend, mostly because she's a better jumper, and obviously this is Aintree, and even the Mild May fence has taken an awful lot of jumping round here. So for that reason, I'd put Zambella in narrowly as fav, but I think I'd certainly defer to market-wise. Both of these horses are reappearing, and it's just a case of which one is likely to be ready. Zambella tends to do a lot more of her big performances around this time of year. You know, Pink Legend, she ran back-to-back in the spring this year, so maybe there's something like that going in, but I would certainly defer to how ready both these mares are sort of prepared to be. But Zambella should be favourite, all things being equal, besides that.
Okay, Keith thinks Zambella should be the favourite. Agreement there, DJ?
I don't know. I think this is your perfect case of racing tipping, okay? So Ed made the case for Pink Legend because he said, look, Zambella doesn't really run well first time out and usually is better on her second start, and pointed out to the fact, and he was absolutely spot on, obviously, that Pink Legend won after 218-day break, 316 days and 212. But then there are people who will make the point and go, oh, I fancy Zambella because Pink Legend ran shocking on her reappearance last season, and it was an absolute shocker at Huntington. It was against Pic Dory in the Peterborough Chase, and she never really got into any sort of rhythm that day at all. Now, she was running against the Geldings, My beloved Mr. Fisher was in there, do your job, first flow, Miller's Bank. It was a solid race, and you know, she was bitterly disappointing. I kind of thought last season, I was like, oh, she badly needed that run last season. But like Ed said, she has form in the past where she's won first time out. She's done it for the previous, I think, four seasons she did it. So if I knew she was cherry ripe for this, I'd fancy Pink Legend, because I thought she made giant strides from kind of February to April last season. And that performance at Perk that she signed off with in April, you know, RPRs, you know, 146, 147, 147, 144. She's got to the level that Zambella's got to. And I think Zambella probably has plateaued a little bit, whereas I think maybe Pink Legend, even though she's 9, rising 10, I think she might still be getting better. It's the absolute no-bet race for me. But if I was to side with one of them, I would side with Pink Legend.
Yeah, it's a no-bet race for myself, but I would be in the camp of Pink Legend as well. We'll swiftly move on. We've got the 205 now at Aintree that we skipped to, which is the Beecher Handicap Chase. We're over the national fences here. Class 1 event over 3.25 miles. Ashdown Lad tops the market 4-1. Percussion is 5-1. The Big Breakaway is 7-1. Celebra Dalen is 17-2. Cocoa Beach 10-1. Highland Hunter also 10-1. Under Supervision 11. Shambard is 12. And we're looking at bigger the rest of them in here. Ed Nicholson, how many places here?
Extra place race. But also, money back second and third as cash with this. So there are two differing offers here that you can choose from. And it's a race that we love at Unibet. We sponsored this race back in the 2020, 2021. Snow Leopard S won it. It was a great time up at Aintree. It was, no one could see anything. Do you remember when Snow Leopard S won? It was the worst day's racing I've ever had in terms of rain. But in terms of performance, it was great to see the old mare win. And Ashdown Lads won it last year, coming back off the back of a pulled up, is the favourite. I think there are reasons to take Ashdown Lad on. I know he's been put down a couple of pounds since he ran it in his first race of the season, but he has disappointed at Aintree before as well. And I think he's, what, 4-1 with us at the moment? I think that's pretty short.
Yeah, 4-1 currently. I mean, who would be your fancy in it, Ed?
Well, I think it's a difficult race, as always. It's going to be who jumps best, who goes with the ground. But the Big Breakaway is a horse I've loved for a long time, in his novice days, novice hurdle days as well. And he again didn't run that well in the Badger Beer, came fifth. And I'm going to say a strange thing, but that was only 3 miles, 1 furlong on a tight track. He's a horse that needs further, I think. But in a big galloping track like the Beecher Chase will be on, I think he's much more likely to enjoy himself. He's shown himself to be a horse that likes these galloping tracks, like the Welsh National, I think, came second. He's run well in other big races as well. So I just thought the Big Breakaway at around, you know, it's quite a big price as well. Well, 6-1, I think, 7-1. Maybe that would be the one with the extra place.
Okay, yeah, 7-1 with Unibet currently, the Big Breakaway. David Jennings over the national fences. Great to see Cocoa Beach come over for this off top weight.
Yeah, won the tri-turn last time, and Danny Gilligan is obviously a steal for his £5 claim. In Darren Yates we trust, Sam, because my two strongest fancies of the day are actually owned by Darren Yates. Obviously, Punta de Leste at Sandown, and I think Ashton Ladd win again, I really do. 4-1 is skimpy. Like, you're kind of looking, you're going, oh God, it's the Beecher. What the hell is Ashton Ladd doing 4-1? But like, you've got to remember, he won convincingly last year off 1.38. He's only £2 higher now. And I think it was a stronger race last year than it is this year. There's nothing to suggest to me this is any stronger this year. He gets in with 10-6. I'd imagine that Harry Skelton said to himself, look, this horse can win one big race this season on terrestrial television, and that is the Beecher. Like, I forget his run at the top, and that's 2.5 miles. He doesn't have the pace for that, and he wasn't able to get into his usual fluency in the top and that Bill Baxter one. I know he was sent off favourite, but you can easily forgive him that. This is his trip, this is his track, these are his fences, he's been trained for the race. You might stick your nose up at 4-1, but I have a feeling after the race we'd be saying, God, that was blatantly obvious.
Okay, Darren Yates double for DJ Punta de Leste and Ashdown Lad in the Beecher. Keith Melrose, I'm going to be with your selection in the London National Handicap Chase. Who's going to be part of my each way double in the big stay and chases this Saturday?
It's a hard race to come down on one, because I think DJ's got a lot behind what he says there. Ashdown Lad, they've found the right favourite, absolutely no question. I think the sort of second group, you know, Percussions, Big Breakaway, Celebra Dalen, and Cocoa Beach, there's a lot of meh going on there. The Big Breakaway, there's an awful long running for him to throw his head in the air, isn't there? He absolutely loves to do that. Does a big breakaway. I thought he threw away the Welsh national, to be quite honest. And I think he might do the same if he gets a chance of winning this. So he's in my play spot, big breakaway, no question. But I don't think it's not a horse I'm ever really trusting to win. And I look, and I think with all these extra places you've got, I'd be looking at one at double figs. And to be honest, I've not settled on one yet. I'll have to have another. But the two that I think could really suit this, under supervision, wants flat tracks. Ran well at Cheltenham. In November there, but this is a horse, his best forms are at Doncaster. He's got quite a lot of form in soft ground. It might be really soft here, but you know, this horse, big horse, I think he wants flat tracks and might well find that this is, in an old Raintree race, he falls because he's not a brilliant jumper, but he can go through the fences there these days, so not so worried about that. He's on the list. And also Sidi Ishmael, who was on my list before the Haydock race, and it turns out that the owners, I think the owners are all Scousers or something. They're certainly Liverpool affiliated. So this was the aim from day one. He's a sort of horse that suits Kevin Brogan, I think. Kevin Brogan, as far as I can see, hasn't ridden this horse before. But, you know, those ones where he sneaks in, he made his name riding horses like that round Ascot. It's a sort of ride he'll do well in. The horse has been trained for this day. He has some good form, you know, looking back to when he was second behind Bangers and Cash at Taunton in the spring, and then second to Trucker's Lodge, who was so well handicapped he couldn't get beat that day at Foss Lass. Stays forever. Ride's going to suit the jockey, and you know, the price is starting to get a little bit skinny now. 14s we're getting with Unibet, but you know, you were getting 20s earlier in the week. I'm going to settle on one of those two as my each way bet, but I think the market has definitely found the right favourite. The gaps are, there's a bit of one of those races where favourites right, interest and outsiders, not much in the middle, and that's where the plays happen at the sides there on your favourite and on your outsiders.
There you go, a few potentially for the Beecher there. And remember, do get involved with that money back as cash if second or third with Unibet up to £20. Certainly worth getting involved with that. We move swiftly on to the 240, which is a listed juvenile hurdle over 2 mile 1 furlong, with Max of Stars is currently a favourite at 5-2. Lefolve is 3-1. Liari is 100-30. Eagle Prince 9-1. Latin Verse is 11-1. Palio is 12-1. Knight of Allen is 14-1. 16s. Bar these, a listed juvenile contest here. Ed Nicholson, who are you with?
Well, first of all, just to remind people that are watching that may not know about Unibet, we have a UniBoost, which is where you can choose which horses you want to boost. So we have Price Boost, which we price boost the favourite, and we also have the Super Boost, where we price boost every horse in the race. But we also have UniBoost. You can have three of these today, a day, and you might want to do that here. So you'll get the next price up on the price ladder. And this might be the race you want to do one of those unit boosts on. It looks a very difficult race because there's not much form to go on for form experts such as DJ and Keith. So it'd be interesting to see and have a look for the future. It's worth a heck of a lot of money, 28 grand to the winner, listed race. There'll obviously be a lot of trainers that have pinpointed their juvenile hurdles for this race. And one trainer I love following in juvenile hurdles is Alan King. We all remember Catch It from back in the day, 2006-07. When he was off the flat, I think rated 82, and ended up winning, I think, six or seven races, and finally won at Aintree. Actually won the big race at Aintree and the big race at Cheltenham, the Triumph Hurdle. He's got a horse here called Palio, who was similar type on the flat to Catch It all those years ago. Ran second in his debut over hurdles to a horse that everyone's talking about for the Triumph Hurdle, Burdett Road. Absolutely got stuffed by Burdett Road by 19 lengths, but they were 19 lengths clear of the third. When I was looking at the race, obviously I don't really know the form, there's not much to go on, but at 11-1, I thought that was quite a big price myself, from a stable that we know that does well. He's got probably the run against the best juvenile we've seen in this country, albeit beaten 19 lengths, but was upsized coming into the home straight. So that'll do for me, 11-1, Palio.
Palio for Ed Nicholson. David Jennings, who are you with in this listed contest?
Sure, I haven't a clue really, but Lefavre would be the one that interests me most. Like the funny thing about Lefavre is it only ran in the middle of September and it's only won in France. You'll know more about the trainer than me, Sam, because I know you're a French connoisseur. Jay Bosnard trains it, but he was beaten in nose that day and led basically everywhere bar the line up the running, and that was at Bordeaux, and I have no idea how good the race was, but the only thing we do know was it was very soft ground, and it obviously was a decent enough performance because Connections forked out €105,000 to get this horse 2 weeks later. So I would say Le Favre is obviously really interesting. And I just go back to that race the other day at, you can tell me where it was now. I think it was at, let me get a few here now. I think it was at, where was the Juvenile Hurdle? The Juvenile Hurdle was in Weatherby, and a horse called Kourash won it. Did you see that? Kourash beat Star Turn of Alan Kings by 21 lengths. And just absolutely bolted up for Dan and Harry that day. Like, it was completely in a different league to the horses that it was running against at Weatherby. It was hammered in the market into 8 to 11. That was a recruit from France that we knew little about, I think, as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what we get from Le Favre. But if there is money for it, I'd imagine it probably is potentially above average and an interesting recruit to hurdling. So no bet race for me, but Le Favre will be the one I'd be most interested in.
No bet race for DJ, but Le Favre, yeah. I can't tell you too much of the trainer DJ over in France, apart from the fact that he's 0 from 11 in the last 14 days. So that's all I've got for you. Keith Melrose, who are you going to be in this?
I'm quite interested. This maybe shows you how much of a no-bet race this is, but I'm interested in another horse. I looked at Liari, who won for Paul Nicholls on his debut for the Yard at October Canter. And this horse, I can't remember the last time Paul Nicholls got a horse bred to be this fast. You know, he's from a family of 100-plus French flat horses, RPRs, by Cracksman, you know, achieved 89 RPR himself in France, won, you know, a good race. He won races at Toulouse and ran it kind of, he ran up against some really good horses, actually, in France. He was second, or running a race behind Back to Black. And, you know, he's basically a fairly useful French flat horse for Jean-Claude Rougier. Come to Nicholls, got a 4-5 for his debut for the Yard, and won that race a little bit workmanlike, but we know how much the Paul Nicholls horses are tending to come on for the first run, and especially these juveniles. You know, he knows the big pots are down the line with them, and this race is a case in point. It's worth 50 grand. So I'm really interested to see how this horse gets on, because I can't remember a time when Nicholls, or I'm looking back a fair few years to remember a time when Nicholls got a horse that was this fast.
It definitely looks like a watching brief, and one where we could learn quite a bit from in the 2:40 there at Aintree. We move on to our final race that we're going to be previewing on ITV, which is the 3:15 there at Aintree, a handicap hurdle class 2 event over 2.5 miles. Sonagino currently tops the market with Unibet 4-1. Bash's Reflection is also 4-1. Sorry, Vicky Vale is 5-1. Benson is 7-1. Holm St George is 17-2. Chance of Tune 11s. Prince Zaltar and Voidarev 12-1 and 14-1. Bar these. Ed Nicholson, the final race that we're going to be previewing here on the postcast, who are you with?
Sonny Gino. He's been going up the handicap. Some might think he's handicapped out of it. I was at Chepstow the times he won off 119, and 3 weeks later 133. Came eighth in the Unibet Greatwood Hurdle last season, and came fourth in it this year. Always a good race, the Unibet Greatwood Hurdle, as we know. And he's run well in other big handicaps as well. Ran well at the track. I watched the video this morning, and he seemed to be in a hopeless position at Aintree last time he ran there. And I think he was eighth or ninth coming into the home straight, and was in the inside and weaved his way through, and was finishing the strongest at the end of the race to finish third. He is probably a little bit high in the handicap, to be brutally honest, but I think he likes a fast pace. He's another of these horses that sticks his head in the air. He's worn noseband, he's worn cheek pieces, and they look after him. They normally come away from horses when they run him against things. At Chepstow, he always comes up the rail. But I just thought Sonny Gino was worth one go here. He's dropping in grade as well, slightly. I mean, I know it's a big class 2 handicap, but I think he's running class 1 handicaps 2 of the last 3 runs, and I think he can just about win off this mark.
Okay, Sonny Gino, Fred Nicholson, Keith Melrose, who for you in the last?
Yeah, same for me. Sorrentino, you know, he's run well in a good race at the national meeting over this course and distance, and ran another good race, I thought, in the Great Woods. He's just a horse that doesn't get his day in the big handicaps. This is a step down. He deserves to be favourite for it, so hopefully Sorrentino can get it done.
Hat-trick David Jennings, surely this is the first one.
No, this is a disaster, because we've gone so far, we've gone through the whole kind of, basically through the whole card at Boatwell, the televised races, and we haven't reached agreement. I haven't reached agreement with Keith on any race, or Ed on any race, apart from John Bond and Constitution Hill. I'm surprised. I really did think both of them would fancy Bash's Reflection. I think this is a horse, like, definitely one step ahead of the handicap, or maybe two. I thought last time at Weatherby, it wasn't just improvement, it was huge improvement. he absolutely bolted up, like bolted up. You'll see there 4 1/4 lengths or 4 3/4 lengths or whatever it was. But if you actually watched the race, he went clear and then just dosed up the running. The whole way up the run, he was dosing. And Harry Bannister just had to keep him up to his work. But I didn't think that was a bad race at Wetherby. It was during the November meeting at Cheltenham. Molly Ollie's Wishes, who had turned into a well handicapped mare, finished second. And Rafferty's return in some good form going there and got the run of the race out in front that day under Ross Chapman. I thought it was a real solid performance. I thought he'd definitely get a stone for it, or definitely get £10 anyway. He got away with 7. He's got up to 121 now. Flat track, 2.5 mile. This sort of ground, I think, is ideal. So this will be the third of my big three. I'm going Punta de Leste, Ashton Ladd, and Batters and Reflection. If those three win on Saturday, you might never see me again, Sam.
There we go. Bash's Reflection in the last at Aintree there. And they are the televised races covered. But before we get any other bets and also the weekend naps, have you found out that the Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app?
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, David Jennings and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the weekend's action. It's time to find out if the gents have anything else to look at this weekend. We've got some cracking action over in Cork. We've also got the Peterborough Chase on Sunday to look forward to. Keith Melrose, I'll start with you here. What have you got to look forward to elsewhere from the TV action?
Yeah, so big weekend of punting from you. We've already lost Wetherby as we're recording this. So that's one straight struck off, but I've got a couple others. The race that got bumped off the telly entry, the 130, good 2.5 mile handicap chase that's sort of a replacement for the Grand Sefton, which used to be on this card. Richmond Lake's a horse that I think looks like it's sunk, because I backed this horse for the December Gold Cup next week. Probably won't run in both. Just looked like a horse bound for the best handicaps as he went up in distance last year. You know, ended up thumping Ned Tanner at Haydock and then won a real speed test at Ayr at the Scottish National Meeting, jumping well. Just looked like a horse really going places and showed himself in really good order by beating Punta de Leste at Wetherby in that race that DJ talked about earlier. You know, that was just getting him hard fit for his big target, which, knowing McCain, silly me, it was always going to be entry rather than Cheltenham, wasn't it? And you know, this is a 50 grand race well worth winning, so he's up for this. I'm also got a little eye on Nothing to Ask in that race, by the way. He's 25 as far as I can see. He's a big price and might be having a saver, but Richmond Lake's a horse I've had my eye on for a big handicap for a while, so he's the main bet in that race. And then they might just about cross the line in that race by the time Edel watch them go off in the Welsh National Trial at Chepstow. And there's a horse in that race that I've been absolutely dying to see over trips for a long time, and it's Dalamois. This horse is a half-brother to Debeche and a half-brother to Don Poley. So you know what you're getting in terms of stamina, don't you? And he really took defences brilliantly last season. You know, he won a really good novice handicap chase at Kempton and then finished second here behind the Venetia horse. Fell when he was favourite behind the race and under the novice handicap chase on Welsh National Day. That's a race where horses, where they've got next year's Welsh National in mind, often run. This horse has run twice since. He was in that Cheltenham race that Stage Star won on Trials Day and then he won a walkover. I don't know if the Welsh National is definitely the aim this year. Whether he gets 3-5 is maybe up for debate, because he's never really run beyond 3 before, certainly over fences. But for me, Dalamois is a really interesting sort in a Welsh National trial at 137. He was very close to being my nap, actually. Also, Sunday. It's not just Peterborough Day. It's Borders National Day. Don't have decks yet. Don't have... Oi! Who was that?
Carry on.
Borders National Day, we've got last year's winner in Flower of Scotland. We don't have decks yet for this race. Two horses I would draw your attention to if they are declared. We've got Destiny Is All, who is basically, do you know when like Football Manager you get those regenerations when somebody retires and they come back as a 17-year-old? Destiny Is All is basically Big River, but in those terms. And Big River won this race a couple of years ago. This is a Lucinda Russell horse that'll stay forever and is worth looking at. And also Houston, Texas, who's always appealed to me as a horse that'll stay forever and won it on his reappearance at Carlisle. So either of those two declared, give them a good look in the 12:35 in Kelso on Sunday, the Borders National.
Yeah, I wasn't laughing at the race, Keith. I was laughing at the fact that I was just waiting for you to mention the Borders National. You weren't going to go a whole podcast without mentioning a 4-mile handicap chase. That was never going to happen, was it?
Of course not. These are the great races. And the thing is, that race, you basically would have just backed Sandy Thompson's blinded it down here. It's a race he targets. He's only got Flower of Scotland in it this year, who won it last year. But yeah, it's a smashing race because you know the sort of people that are aiming at it every year. It's a great race to know.
Yeah, absolutely. DJ, the return of El Fabiola, I did mention it earlier in the show, but the return of El Fabiola this weekend, cracking action to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually, like, I know there's really good race in Sandown and in England on Saturday, but Navan has eight, but there's plenty of Cheltenham clues. The 107 is the Tote Navan Novice Hurdle. It's grade two. Very interesting jockey bookings here because Jack Kennedy has deserted Better Days Ahead for Stellar Story. Mm. Stellar Story won a maiden hurdle at Navan last month and did it impressively. And looks, it's a half brother to the Storyteller, maybe even a full brother to the Storyteller. It looks like a real improvement. So it runs against Slade Steele, who was very good in a maiden hurdle at Nays, and that form has been frank since because King of Kingsfield was second in the Royal Bond last week. And then you got Lecky Watson, who did everything possibly that anything could do wrong in a race and still managed to win at Thurles last time. And the second horse beat a 1-8 shot 2 weekends ago, Punchestown. So that form has worked out quite well. So that grade 2 107 is going to be very interesting. If I was pushed, I'd probably go with Slade Steele, to be honest with you, but I don't have a strong opinion of it. The one horse I do fancy is in the 142. It's the Bective Stud Tea Rooms and Apartments Handicap Hurdles. List a race worth $100,000. I like them at Cheltenham as well. We'll have one for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. I just think we haven't seen the best of this horse yet. I think he's probably one of the worst horses Willie Mullins trained. He's only rated 129, but I do think there is a big pot in him, and this could be it. I thought he ran actually far better than his finishing position suggests against Highland in that pretense qualifier at Cheltenham back in October. So I'd be very keen on We'll Have One in that 142. And just a shout out to the last two races on the card. We've got a beginner's chase at 252, which sees Hidden Valley Lake, who was a really good staying novice hurdler last season, the unbeaten Indiana Dream, who was an absolute gorgeous horse, and he's probably forgotten because he's only won a maiden hurdle at Fairy House by a mile, but we didn't see him after New Year's there last season. I did Willie Mullins' stable tour. He likes Indiana Dream. And then you've got San Felicien, who was third to Facile Vega and in the pocket at Navan last month, steps up and trip here. And then Shambali Kid, who many people were fancying to go well in the Albert Barton last season. So that's going to be interesting, that 252. But I'm very interested in Indiana Dream there. And then in the final race on the card, the 325... my latest tipping up at the ante was my trump card for the Albert Bartlett, and lo and behold, he turns up in a bumper over 2 miles. And not only that, but Patrick Mullins ride him. And I said to myself, what the hell is Patrick Mullins doing on a horse that's trained by Gordon Elliott? And then I realised he actually bred my trump card. So every day is a school day. But if my trump card doesn't win the concluding bumper at Navan, so we may just all give up, because he's a very, very talented horse. And I just... he'll hopefully win this bumper, then win a 2.5 mile maiden hurdle, then potentially run in the graded race, maybe at Clonmel or Thurles in February, and then hopefully go on to the Albert Barton, because I think he's got loads of ability and he's a very strong stayer. That's my trump card, the 325 at Navan.
There we go, good coverage of Navan there. Ed Nicholson, you're at Chepstow on Saturday. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we get into the naps?
The new boy is going to go against one of the established guys, Keith. I'm actually going in the same race, the Welsh National Trial. I echo everything that Keith said about Delamoy. I know that both Tim Vaughan and Ellen Jones love this horse. I think he might be a little bit too lowly rated to actually make the Welsh National, like Keith suggested. He's only 1-2-8. But I really like 2 for Gold. He's already 6-1 to win the Welsh National itself. He needs to show that he does stay those extreme distances, as do a lot of horses make their way to these Nationals for the first time. But he's had a race already this season, ran really well, second at Ascot in that really big handicap chase. We've spoken about that form previously in this show. David Bass takes the ride. It's a highly rated individual, 154. Does have to give weight all round, but I think I'll be welcoming 2 for Gold into the winner's enclosure come Saturday afternoon.
Hey, 2 for Gold, yeah, that's in the Welsh National Handicap. That's the trial there at 1:37, so do look out for that. It's also worth mentioning, if you do like your flat racing on Sunday morning, worth waking up early for the Group 1s out there. It's the international races. You've got the Hong Kong Vase, Warm Heart, taking a place in that. You've got the Hong Kong Sprint with Highfield Princess running. And also the Hong Kong Cup is there where I really fancy Horizon Doré to go and do the business. Didn't like the ground on Champions Day and the Champion Stakes. I think from draw one, he's going to run a massive race there. It's time for the naps then, gentlemen. Let's get into the big ones this weekend. David Jennings, I've got a nap to go up against your nap because you've already mentioned who that's going to be. So go on, you give your nap and I'm going to try and take it on this week.
Uh-oh, here we go. Punta del Este, or Punta del Este, I don't know if you pronounce the last E, 225 stand down, presuming it's absolutely bottomless, and I think he'll swim his way to success, 7-1. He won't be going off 7-1.
Okay, Punta del Este for David Jennings.
What do you like on it? Go on, take me
Yeah, we might as well go into mine. I really like, it's deja vu from last week, DJ, but my nap
Spirit
landed
Danu,
last week
I
with Hansard, but Spirit Danu will be
you
the
You love
one
Gary Moore and you love Niall Houlihan.
Look, this horse here was so progressive last year. Four wins on the bounce. Came out this year, was fourth at Cheltenham behind Blue King DeRue, who's since come out and won at Ascot. The second's actually run a really nice race since. Gary Moore's horse, I mentioned it last week with Hansard, definitely need the run. They come on a hell of a lot for the run. And Jamie Moore took the ride there at Cheltenham. Niall Houlihan, Alice Plunkett described him after Hansard as the super sub. He certainly is. He's great value for his £3 claim. I think this horse is definitely a horse to keep on the right side. I think he's way better than a mark of 129. And Spirit Danu, currently 6-1 with Unibet. That'll do me. Ed Nicholson, go on, give us your nap. Your first nap on the postcards. Make it a good one.
Constitution. No, I'm joking. It's going to be Beauport from Nigel Twiston Davis in the London National, the 335 at Sandown. Just think he's got everything going for him. Maybe his jumping isn't the best, but I just couldn't stop looking at him finishing really well, having made mistakes. I think he's okay handicapped and the stable's in good form. So, yeah, Beauport in the big National, London National.
Okay, Beauport in the final race there at Sandown, 11-4 for Ed and Keith Merrows. Complete the lucky 15 Yankee, whatever you want to do with them.
Okay, I think it would have been Dalamar if he'd been out this year and shown his well-being, but with that not being the case, it just tips the balance in favour of Issio in the 150 at Sandown.
Okay, Issio 7-2 for Keith in the 150 there at Sandown. Really excited for this weekend, a really cracking weekend of action. MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet, do gamble responsibly. There's plenty of racing to get involved with, so do gamble responsibly. Before we go, I've got literally 30 seconds of all you to find out what's going on this weekend. Ed Nicholson, what are you up to this week? And you've mentioned Chepstow already.
Yeah, down to Chepstow. And just incidentally, we're going to price boost each of the naps as well on Saturday, so you'll get the next price up if you fancy either David's or Keith's, or if you really want mine.
There we go. David Jennings, you're going to be in Ireland, I'd imagine, this week. You'd love a trip to Navan.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to know what I know they're obviously JP says. What was the horse that signed behind Jed?
I actually can't remember. I got when we sponsored at Fontwell and they gave it as a leaving guest gift to me. They just got told he didn't really know who he was signing it for, but it's famous colours, yeah. And it was all to do with AP McCoy more than JP, to be honest. It's signed by AP.
Apologies, I shouldn't. I thought there was going to be some brilliant story here about some horse that set you up for the rest of your life. Nice to see the JP suits. Navan Saturday, and then I am off on Sunday, but Aoife's going to some like Mrs. Makeup party kind of thing all day Sunday with all our friends. So not only do I have to like mind the kids all day on Sunday, and they're my own kids, so it's not really mine, though. I'm not babysitting. They're my own kids, and I love babysitting them, but it's just like from early in the day to late at night. And then I have to pick her up. Once I get them down to bed, then I have to pick her up and then listen to her on the way home. It's not going to be a good day Sunday. But I'm totally looking forward to it.
Looking forward to the racing on Saturday, then, and in for a bit of a dreadful day on Sunday by the standings for a day off. DJ and Keith Merrow's plans this weekend.
Well, my Sunday's going to be equally grim because Saturday, me and my mates are going out in Leeds. So, my Sunday won't be any better, but my Saturday should be all right. Yeah,
what does that actually mean, Big Sir?
What?
you and your Big Sir, you said?
No, me and...
What did you say?
I said me and my mates are.
Oh, me and my mates are. I just said me and my Big Sir.
Big Sir, are you talking... That's that place in California, isn't it?
Sorry, I just said me and my big sir.
I'm going to leave that into the show. That.
Yeah, me and my big sir, I thought, Jeff, and just said me and my mates are. And I thought it was me and my big sir. And I was like, oh my God, what's that? Sorry, apologies.
There we go. Keeves out in Leeds on Saturday. I'm going to be heading to Sandown. I'm looking forward to that on Saturday. And I'll be heading in the evening to Winter Wonderland in London for a few drinks. So looking forward to that. And a recovery day like Keith on Sunday, I'd imagine. Look, massive thank as always.
So you're Winter Wonderland. That's absolutely massive. It's massive. I've never seen it before.
Park. Yeah, it's a really cracking day. If you've never been, certainly worth coming to London for that. Some people will say, a lot of parents will say probably not. But no, it's a really good day out. So that's my weekend plans. Big thanks to all the gentlemen as always. Big thanks, Ed, for your debut on the podcast. What a great debut to have. We love this show and great to have you on board. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, very much indeed. Thank you.
That's it, absolutely. Well, look, join us again next week. We've got some cracking action to come leading up to Christmas. As always, do sign up to Members Club. Like, comment, share and subscribe. And we will see you again next Thursday, same time, 7 o'clock. Thanks for watching.